I think it's very important that writers write in a real voice, in their own voice, but only if they're really good writers. And I have noticed that too many people are writing books, period. Okay? There are too many books, the books are terrible, and this is because you have been taught to have self-esteem.
Haven't we all been taught to have way too much self-esteem? Yes, the wisdom there of Fran Lebowitz, Work in a Room. If you've read Vanity Fair any time in the past decade or watched David Letterman with any regularity over the past two decades, of course you know who Fran Lebowitz is. And you know her biting social commentary and her style of address. Her big break came in the 1970s when Andy Warhol hired her to write a column for Interview magazine. In the years since, she's written two best-selling books of essays, Metropolitan Life and Social Studies, as well as a children's book called Mr. Chaz and Lisa Sue Meet the Pandas. She's the subject of a new documentary directed by Martin Scorsese, which premieres tonight on HBO. It's called Public Speaking. Fran Lebowitz joins us today in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Describe the mission of public speaking, because in many ways it's about, you know, what you've been trying to get people to understand about, you know, modern life, really throughout your career.
Well, I didn't think of it as having a mission, to tell you the truth. I mean, my main mission was that it was not a normal documentary or a conventional documentary, by which I mean I didn't want anyone to follow me around with a camera. You know, I seem, however, to be the only person left in the country that is true of. And I knew that Marty wouldn't do that, you know, that Marty would think of something different.
And so just what is the premise? What is the premise here? I mean, how does it work out that we sort of see the world through your point of view, but we're not really a fly on the wall. We're more your pal.
Well, I know, but this is I had no idea what Marty was going to do. The only thing I knew was that we were having these conversations. I've seen this movie seven times. I saw seven different movies. I didn't know what Marty's idea for the movie was. I didn't ask him. And the reason I didn't ask him was, you know, he's a director. He has Final Cut. I don't believe in collaboration for my writing, and I know he doesn't believe in it. So I didn't really know what he was going to do. If you would ask Marty what he thinks this is about, you know, he thinks it's kind of about the last 30 years of the culture.
If we were to explore that for a moment, what is the arc of the last 30 years of the culture? I mean, certainly as a New Yorker, you've had quite a journey. You know, the 70s seem to be a much more whimsical time. The 2000s seem to be a silly and almost frightening time. And you found humor in all of it.
Well, I mean, to me, the last 30 years or even more has been a kind of merry-go-round of nostalgia. You know, one of the points I was trying to make was, could someone do something new? You know, and it seems to me that, I mean, of course, there's all this modern technology, which is very new. And then we put on this endless, you know, reprise of things, you know, from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, you know, back and forth. It's a, you know, I was trying to get people, by which I mean people who are young, to put something new on these new machines.
And when you say new, do you mean something besides talk about yourself psychologically? Or
stop making, you know, basically they're collagists. You know, they take a little bit of this from someone else, a little bit of that from someone else, and put it together. And, you know, what is now called content, you know, seems to me to be nostalgic, you know. And nostalgia is an unusual sensibility for people who are young.
Well, let's talk about new for a minute.
Basically, for instance, in music, in popular music,
right,
the newest thing is rap. It's 30 years old.
Right,
I mean,
true.
Popular music, that's what it's supposed to be, is new. You know, that's what one requires of it. You know, I'm not saying that I follow it assiduously. I'm too old, you know. But, you know, when rap first happened, I loved it. And one of the reasons I loved it was because it was brand new. It was something really different. And that is what I require of others.
And either you're not finding it, or there's not enough of it, or, I mean, you said you're too old. I mean, there is this terror that if you stop buying records that suddenly you're close to death. I feel this.
Oh, well, I don't. But
you don't buy records, or you don't feel
I
close
never
to
did.
Death?
No, I don't buy records. I'm not supposed to. I'm not saying that I'm doing my job. I'm being cranky, okay? I feel they're not doing their job. That's all.
So what technology do you use?
I use none.
None,
you
right?
Know, but it's not so. Because I am a Luddite, which is always misused anyway. It's not that I don't like the new machines. I didn't have the old machines. I never had a typewriter. Also, I noticed that none of these things work. You know, I mean, I don't have a cell phone. You know,
you don't have a cell phone?
No, I don't have a cell phone. But I also notice, because everyone else has them and calls me on them, that they don't work.
So where should young people who want to – actually, you would not want young people to follow your path at all, right?
No. I'm often sorry I followed my path. I didn't actually have a path, to tell you the truth. I didn't think about – that word in that used in that way wasn't in vogue at the time. I didn't think about it in that way.
Is your – and again, you hate this word mission. Would you feel better about the world if there were more grumpy people? Or do you just have your particular brand of grumpiness and that is fine with you and that is what you do?
It is not my goal to be annoyed. I would prefer to be cheered up. You know, in other words, if people have an adverse reaction to something, it isn't necessarily their fault. It might be the fault of the thing causing the adverse reaction.
So the Obama era, well, cheering you up?
The Obama era seems to have lasted like 2 seconds. You know, I mean, you certainly can't point to politics as saying that it's anything but immensely regressive.
Right. Obama is sort of nostalgic for Carter at this point.
You know, but I mean, the whole era is – and people keep saying that the Tea Party, you know, this is a new thing. This is the oldest thing in the country. We have always had this.
You know, I got one last question to ask you. Does Scorsese have a cell phone?
Not that I'm aware of. I know he texts.
He texts?
Yes, but not to me.
Yeah, well, of course not. How
But I have seen him doing this a few times.
I wonder if he did.
But he's a, you know, compared to me, Marty's a scientist.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, he's a physicist compared to me.
He's a physicist. Fran Lebowitz, thanks so much. The new documentary on HBO is called Public Speaking. It premieres tonight. And it's really a guide to people who want to be public speakers, right?
That's what it is, yes.
Now, we've totally annoyed you. You're free to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.